Thank you for that. Of course, this morning we introduced our theme for the year, being disciples and making disciples. As we get into our theme, I want us, especially these first few months as we're thinking about it, I just really want us to get the concept that we're trying to help us to get. Sunday morning we'll go over our theme series. As we started this morning, Thursday night, we're still in our series on the dynamics of a disciple. On Sunday nights, the series I'm calling it Living Discipleship, and it's just basically some thoughts that will help us, different truths that will help us to really be a disciple and live it in our lives and make sure that we are constantly being disciples. The key thing I really want us to understand, is that we cannot make disciples if we are not disciples ourselves. We cannot help anybody if we are not getting help ourselves. We cannot give to others that which we do not possess ourselves. We can teach a Sunday school class as parents, or as people, or as couples. We can work on the bus route. You name it. But if we're not a disciple, all of that ultimately is going to end up, and I hate to say this, maybe it's a little too strong, it's going to end up being in vain because we have nothing to give to other people. More than what we share with people is really what they get from us as individuals. What they see in us is very important, and we don't have anything to give them, and we don't have anything to share with them if we do not live a life about being a serious disciples, being a serious disciple ourselves. And so we need to be serious about it. To put it in a nutshell, we need to be serious about our Christianity in every single area. Okay? Your walk with God. Today is the 12th. Have you been reading your Bible yet? Okay? See, what happens is we start to be, I jokingly said that thing at this morning that the Bible is excited because it's going to get read for the first week of the year, okay? That's a joke, but the fact of the matter is a lot of people do that. They get started, they never get out of Genesis. If you read 3 chapters a day, Genesis, that's going to take you 17 days to get out of Genesis. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. And you'll have Exodus 1 to spare, okay? And so I hope that you're serious about that. I hope that you'll also start trying to comprehend what you're reading, a knowledge of our doctrine and what we believe. You know, we're very conservative in our beliefs. We're not trying to be mean-spirited about that, but you say, why are you guys so conservative? I'll be real honest with you. Here's why. You can't read the Bible and not be. You know, I mean, you read the Bible and the Bible's a pretty serious book. And so we just try to follow it. I hope this year you'll be committed to your church and your desire to serve and all these different things that we will look at. So with all that in mind, the series on Sunday night is going to be called Living Discipleship, different truths that can help us to truly be a disciple in our everyday life. I like the story here. If you understand, David had wanted to build the temple. David wanted to be the one. He initially got to go ahead from the prophet Nathan. In 1 Chronicles chapter 17, I'll read the verses here in verse 1 and 2. It says, "Now it came to pass, as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, Lo, I dwell in the house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains. Then Nathan said to David, Do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee." Okay. That's why sometimes, even those of us that you know, we know the Bible, we have to be careful when we say things to people. People sometimes come in my office and they want counsel. And there's general things I'm telling people and I can help, but I'm like, I'm not God. You know, if you want to come in my office, I'm going to tell you to go to the other side of the world. Unless you feel God wants you to do that, then I'm going to tell you to go. But I'm not going to tell you to go on my own because I'm not the one who has to live there. But you know what, but I'm not God, but so often, you know, we just make these snaps, and Nathan's like, that's a good plan. And then Nathan goes home, and God says, it is a good plan, but not for David. We read it in chapter 22 where God said, I don't want you to build it because you're a man of war. You've shed much blood. You're going to have a son, Solomon. He's going to be a man of peace. He's the one I want to build the temple. So you would think David's like, I'm off the hook. I mean, I have this desire. By the way, it's not like, it took a long time to build the temple. And it took a lot of preparation. It took a lot of jewels and all these different things. And David's like, dodge that bullet. By the way, anybody in a church building program doesn't want to be in one. Okay, pastors don't say, hey, you know what we should do? Let's build a building just to have fun. It's not fun. Okay, and you know that already. And so David could have just said, praise God, Solomon's going to do it. I'll pray for him. That's not what he did. So what did David do? David decided he still wanted to build, he wanted the temple built. And so David said, I'm going to do everything that I can within my power to be a part of building the temple, even though I will never physically see it started, and though I will never ever see it or be a part of it. We're talking about years down the line it was going to be done. Years after David was dead and in the grave. And David could have just washed his hands of it and said, God's got it under control. Solomon's going to handle it. But you know what David did? David became as much a part of it as he could. As we read the chapter, David made a lot of the preparations. David collected a lot of the financial help and the stones and the jewels. He even, if you read through there, he even had them chiseling and getting some of the stones ready. David was fully on board with this. David was the one that gave him the plans for it. And so David could have got comfortable with where he was at and just said, John Castle taught me something. Not my monkey, not my circus, right? Sometimes people try to drop their drama on you at the last minute because they were irresponsible. Listen, he's like, you know what? Not my problem. But David said, my son's building it. I'm in. I want to be a part of this. I'm not going to get comfortable. I want to serve God, and I want that thing built, and I'll never see it, but I'm going to be as much a part of it as I can. And in doing so, he left a legacy, a lasting legacy. The legacy of that temple, yes, Solomon built it. And when we think about it and we talk about the different temples and the remodels, we call it Solomon's temple. But David had a heavy hand in helping to get it built. David was not concerned, was not with his work as much as it was God's honor and God's glory. And he wanted to help be a part of this legacy, which would be the temple, which would be left. What is the point? David did not get comfortable in his Christianity or his relationship with God as he got older. He was just as dedicated to it as he was when he was younger. Even though God rejected the thing that he wanted to do, David could have just moved on and said, my life, I can just finish with the kingdom and, do this and I can leave that alone. But David said, no. I want to be fully on board. I want to be fully involved as much as I can. I'm not going to get comfortable. And David served till the end of his death. He's a living example of what Paul, who we talked about this morning, said at the end of his life. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. I, to be honest with you, I know people have their verses, this is my life verse and that, and I'm okay with that. I don't really have one, I guess, because I don't have a life. I don't know. But when I don't like really doing it, but sometimes inside my Bible, I just put Psalm 1 because I like Psalm 1. But I guess if you're going to have a life verse, this would be a good one. I think this should be everybody's life verse. It ought to just be, I am going to be faithful to death. I am going to be full. Paul didn't just say, I made it to the end serving God. He said, man, I was fighting the fight. I've kept the four. He goes, I was in 100% from the day I got saved until the day that I will die. Far too many Christians calm down. And by the way, if you're a true disciple, you don't calm down. You don't. They get comfortable in their Christianity, which, by the way, let me just say this. It's nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does it say the older you get, the less that you should be in love with Jesus. Fact of the matter, it says, hey, you left your first love. It's like, hey, you weren't where you used to be. He says, repent, do the first, get back to doing what you did when you first loved God. Let's not be comfortable. If David had one of those little pithy Christian signs on his door, it would be no comfortable Christian here. That would be David. And I hope that would be us. What kept David, and this is what I want us to focus on in the few minutes we have, what kept David from being comfortable in his Christianity? And what will keep us from being comfortable? Because I'll just be honest with you. I'm not judging or anything, because I just know the nature of the beast. I'm pretty sure there's some of us in here that we've gotten comfortable in our Christianity. We have. We've settled in. We've calmed down. Okay? Don't calm down. Speed up. And I'm not saying that to say go work 100 hours. You know what I'm talking about. But I think we can be as in love with Jesus as we were when we first fell in love with Jesus. I think we can serve Jesus just as much as we did when we first were serving Jesus. And I think that we can be just as excited about growing in our faith as we were when we first started growing in our faith. So what were some of the things that kept David from being comfortable in his Christianity? The first thing is this. Excuse me. He had a concern for God's house. Look at verse 1 and 2. Then David said, this is the house of the Lord, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. David was going to have it built, the temple, on the property he had bought for Ornan when the death angel stopped after David had sinned in numbering the people. And that was the place where they were going to build the temple. And so David had a concern. He wanted it done. By the way, he's already getting the stones cut. He obviously had got the dimension somehow or from God and knew what was going on, and he had passed that to David, but to his son, but he was already involved. Why? He was concerned about the temple. He was concerned about the place where they would worship God. Just because God would not allow him to build it didn't mean he should not be concerned about it. Now, how does that apply to us? Where do we worship the Lord? Now, we worship him everywhere. But we need to be a part of his house, which is his church. You know, one way to check to see if you're getting comfortable in your Christianity, check your attitude towards church. You're the only one we would allow to leave. Ask yourself, now this is bad for me to say this because I wasn't here last week, okay? You know, what does it take for you to miss a church service? Say, but Pastor Myers, what did you do? Literally, Billy, I'm sorry about that. I don't typically see all the playoff games, but I was so sick and I couldn't move. I actually watched all four of them last week. I had nothing going on. I couldn't get out of the chair. I'm like, I can't move. And you can't blame me because my team wasn't playing. I almost got the flu last year, remember? It was that night that the Rams were playing in the Super Bowl. I almost got sick that night. But I took an aspirin, and man, I started feeling better. But listen, it's very rare when I miss on Sunday. Very rare. And I understand. Look, do me a favor. If you're really sick, stay home. Unless you're going to cough on Raul, then have at it, okay? But can I just tell you something? Far too many people miss church way too easily. Here, I call this the Baptist flu, Brother Bichardo. Here it is. What you should do is you should check during a year how many days you're sick. Okay? You say, well, I was sick and I missed 10 Sundays last year. Now, I just like doing that. So if you were sick arbitrarily on 10 Sundays, you were probably sick on 10 Mondays, 10 Tuesdays, 10 Wednesdays, 10 Thursdays, 10 Fridays. You're probably unemployed. It's amazing how people will miss 6 or 7 Sundays at church. It's quiet, but they'll miss 6 or 7 Sundays at church, and they'll miss 3 days of work all year long. Okay? And by the way, I don't want you here if you're sick. But like, you know, you're not sick when you miss church and then an hour after church is over, you're at the mall because you've been healed. Okay? But what does it take for us to miss church? I like to be here. One of the things I was excited about as a new Christian, I just like being at church. And I still like being at church. I love being here. I don't love everybody here, but I love being here, okay? I love most of you, a couple of you I like, one of you I'm praying about. But you know what happened? You know why we do that? We lose our excitement. That's just it. We lose our excitement. And by the way, let me just say this. If you're not excited about your relationship with God, you're not going to be excited about church, because church is a spiritual thing. And by the way, you're here on Sunday night and I'm with you. You're here. I appreciate that. So you have some type of spiritual desire. There's nothing magical about church, but let me just say this. God still commands us to come. Thank you for being here. It's the place where God's purpose is fulfilled for this world. See, we get energized and we get charged and we get built up as a disciple so we can get out there and make disciples. God uses the church. It's the best place to have your family. It is. Okay? It's nice for them to be sitting here and in church and hearing good things. Things I wish I would have heard when I was growing up. I heard a lot of nonsense growing up, and it was not anything to do with God. I was hearing all kinds of. It's a place that we combat the influences of the world. Okay? There's got to be some place where you come that says, hey, time out. The truth of the scriptures against everything you're watching on MSLSD, okay, or whatever else we're watching out there, all the nonsense we're being taught, we got to be very, very careful about that. It's a place to find people who pray for you when you have needs. Isn't that nice to know? Isn't that nice to have a group where you can come and say, I'm going through something now. Will you pray for me? And maybe you just need a spiritual hug or a pat on the back, or you need someone to stand there with you. And when you're going through a hard time, cry. And when you're going through a good time, to cheer with you. Isn't that what church should be? Hey, well, how's your excitement level for church? One of the first steps in losing your commitment to Christ is losing your commitment to church. Mark it down. Next. David also had a commitment to God's will. Look at verse 3. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails for the doors of the gates and for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight, and cedar trees in abundance. For the Zidonians and they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. And by the way, as you read through the historical books, there are several times when David would win a war and he would take the spoils and he would set aside a portion for the temple. Okay? What was that all about? Because the temple was God's will. It wasn't specifically God's will for David to build it, but it was God's will for it to get done. And David wanted to be a part of God's will in any way that he could. David wanted to be a part of God's will. Too many of us are not concerned about God's will. We're just really not. We're not concerned about God's will for our own lives. Okay? We're listening to our friends and going into careers that someone said would be cool, or you know, being trained or going here for some career, not necessarily because that's us, because we heard it. And then you finish and you get out there and it's like, that's not for me. The majority of the world is not working in the career for which they went to school for. How many of you know that? You want to freak out for a minute, and I'm not telling you to quit school. Okay, I'm not. But the majority of the richest people in this world didn't even finish college. I remember I read the story of Michael Dell, who started Dell Computers. When he was in junior high, he started a paper route. And then he figured out how to get other people working for him on his paper route. And he said, here was I in a junior high class sitting there, and I was making more money than my teacher. As a freshman, I believe it was at the University of Texas, he was selling computers he made by himself out of his dorm. He quit going to class. and was just making lots of money until they kicked him out because he wasn't going to class. Listen, I'm not saying ditch school. I'm just saying so often we have no clue what we're supposed to be doing. You know how you can figure that out? Find out what God wants you to do. Let's be interested in what God's will is for our life. So often we just get comfortable in our life and I'll just plug in and do the bare minimum and do my own thing. Listen, what does God want you to do? And then in the areas where maybe that's not for God to you, you can still be involved in others who are doing God's will. By the way, why do we give to missions? We'll have our missions revival in a couple of weeks. Why should we give to mission? Because it's God's will for our church to be involved in spreading the gospel around the world. And if you're not going, you better give to those who are. We got to get it out there. Commitment to God's will. God has something different for all of us to do, but God has something for all of us to do. We just need to be committed to it. And then just the God's will of doing his word. That's God's will. Don't pray about it, okay? Don't. If God's word says to do something, we don't need to pray about it. We need to just do it, okay? You know, is it God's will for me to do that? Did God say specifically in the Bible to do it? Yes, don't pray about it. Go for it. But God's will. David was committed to this. If you're not interested in what God wants for you, you're going to be a comfortable Christian. Thirdly, what kept David from being comfortable? He contributed to others' work. We kind of mentioned that a second ago. Verse 5, and David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent. That just sounds good. Of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. Do you understand what he's saying? This had nothing to do about him. This wasn't for David's honor and glory. Now, God mentioned it in the Bible, so we know that David's involved and David's in on it. But we call it Solomon's temple. But you know what? David was in on it. He wanted to contribute to others. You want to be successful as a Christian? You do God's will and you help others who are doing God's will. Let's not think about ourselves only. See, so often we only do something if we get the pat on the back, right? And by the way, thank you for everything you do for God, but and I'll give you a pat on the back, but let's not do it because we have to have a pat on the back, okay? If you have to have credit for something when you do it, then don't do it, okay? Now, I'll give you credit, and there's nothing wrong with giving somebody credit, but so often we're just concerned about how we look. We ought to just be concerned about who's being helped. David could care less. Let's get that temple up and running. All those things, when they first got started, it's like, David prepared for that, David prepared for that, David prepared for that, David provided that. Now, Solomon did too. The temple was phenomenal building and worth astronomical amounts of money. But David contributed to that. How do we do that? I already mentioned, let's contribute to our missions and our ministries. So, well, I'm not in the bus ministry. Do you know what? You can still give to bus ministry. Our family, we don't give a lot, but we give a certain amount every single month to the bus ministry. I want to be involved. It's a soul winning win. I want to be involved in missions. I want to be involved in the building. You name it. I want to be involved in what others are doing here. Say, well, I'm not, that's not my ministry. Listen, say, I don't even have kids in the school. Be behind our school. Be a supporter of the school because other people's children are in school. You name it. Just be behind it. Let's be together. Let's have unity in our church. All of us have different ministries we work in our church, but you know what? We ought to be for every single ministry. We're not competing with each other. We're complementing one another. And David contributed to the work of others. So you look. It's okay if you look around, you see somebody do something to walk up and say, hey, thank you for that. Hey, thank you for singing in the choir. Thank you for being in the orchestra. Thank you for vacuuming the hallways. Thank you for working in the nurseries where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, okay? Thank you for doing all of that. You don't even have to be on a bus route and you can thank someone for driving a bus. Thank someone for bringing donuts to your Sunday school class. Thank your son's teacher for teaching Sunday school class. Let's all be together. Let's all work on this together. He contributed to others' work. Next, what kept David from being comfortable in his Christianity? He continued to his death. the end of verse 5. So David prepared, what's that next word? It says abundantly before his death. We already mentioned this. David was in until the day that they buried him in the ground or put him in a tomb. Continuing. You get comfortable in your Christianity when you're not concerned about finishing. A lot of people start strong, very few finish strong. The number of people who get saved and start out on their journey living for Christ, how many really make it to the finish line going forward just as strong, if not stronger, than when they started? It's a minority. But you know what I would say? Count me in. I want to be part of that minority. You don't have to be fancy. You don't have to be the best looking, which is 95% of you. You don't have to be the smartest. You don't have to be a great teacher. You don't have to be the best singer in the choir. You don't have to be a lot of things, but you can be one thing: faithful your entire life. That's what God's looking for. God's looking for people that'll say, I can stick it out. I can continue. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to backtrack. The longer that you are here, the longer you are saved, your walk with God should be better. And that just makes sense. The more you read the Bible, the more you're going to understand it. And the more you understand it, the more you're going to understand, if that makes sense. The more you're going to get out of it. You'll read something and you understood a little bit of it, and something else will jump out that you never saw before because you've understood it to a greater degree than you used to understand it. That's how it ought to be. The better your faithfulness to church and faithfulness to serving and the whole nine yards. Next, David did not become comfortable because he was challenging the next generation. In verse 6, it says, then he called for Solomon, his son, and charged him to build an house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, thy son is for me, it was in my house, and I'm not going to go through it, but he tells the story, and he's telling the story to say, Solomon, you are the man, do it. Do what I can't do. By the way, Solomon wasn't going to have some of the drama that David had. Now, I understand towards the end of his life, David, he brought his own drama on. But you understand, up front at the beginning, he wasn't David. He didn't have all the wars, and he didn't have all the drama, and he didn't have all the, he didn't have to deal with Joab, and he had to deal with Absalom, and he didn't have to deal with the Amnon situation. He didn't have to deal with a lot of that. God made him a man of peace, and God kind of, during those years, wiped off the drama and said, you'll have peace, you're going to be fine, your kingdom will be established, you're going to have the wisdom, get the job done. By the way, let me say this, the second generation should be better than the first. Are you with me? You know what? Too often it's the opposite. Too often it's the first generation, because as I mentioned with Paul, he got saved out of sin and he knew it, and he knew where he was wrong, and he went forward. But can I just tell you something? The second generation doesn't have to deal with the memories and the things and all the nonsense we went through as first. I'm first generation. Okay? Went to church the first time I was fifth grade. I think I was 11. Second time I went, I was in high school. Didn't grow up in church. Went through a lot of problems, okay? There's nothing good about that. Now, I use that, and thank God that he saved me, and I'm glad for all of that. But you know what? The next generation shouldn't have to deal with that drama. It's sad when a Christian family brings that drama in. But he challenged the next generation. Solomon, I wanted to build the house. I was a man of blood. I was a man of war. I had my issues. God said I can't do it. You can. Go get it. You know, it's sad when the first generation tries to hold the second generation down. Well, you know, I don't want my son to be a pastor because after all, now listen, if God doesn't want your son to be a pastor, neither do I. I think there's far too many that aren't even considering it. Mom's holding them down. I don't want them to go to the other side of the world. I'm glad my children are here and all, but if God tells them to go to the other side of the world, get out of here. Okay? I'll buy a one-way ticket for him, amen? In fact, I might just do that anyhow. But listen, we ought to be pushing that next generation. We ought to be an encouragement to them. They're watching us. Remember this. Comfortable Christians produce carnal Christians. No desire for God. They're not going to experience the things you experienced before you got comfortable, if that's you, and I'm not accusing anybody, right? They'll never experience that joy of church because we've taught them that church isn't enjoyable. They'll never experience the joy of soul winning because we don't do it anymore. They'll never experience the joy of giving because you quit giving. Or you give grudgingly. You don't see it as an investment in souls. You see it as a bill to be paid. They don't experience the joy of living for Jesus that maybe you used to have. And go on and on and on. See, then what happens is, and give me just 30 seconds to complain and then I'll get back to being encouraging, okay? Then what happens is, your kids don't want to serve God and then you blame the church. My kids grew up in the church your kids grew up in, and my kids are no different than yours, and you know that. They're knuckleheads, just like their mother, okay? So, I'm sorry, just like their father, not her. You know, look, I love it when they criticize our school. My kids going to our Christian school, it hasn't hurt a one of them. It hasn't. It's not. My kids got demerits too. You know, my brother's called, hey, your kid did this, you know, should I give him demerits or a SWAT? And I'm like, give Stephen both. He said he wanted to take the demerits. I'm like, give him the demerits, the SWAT, detention, and thump him on the ear. Whatever you got to do. We don't spank anymore, okay? But it's like, come on. If my kids go bad, it's not the church's fault. Because there's kids in the church that didn't go bad. It's not the school's fault. Because there's kids in the school that aren't going bad. It's not the college's fault, okay? And you just go on and on and on. We just don't like to do it. Well, that's the standards. Look, everybody has standards. Everybody has standards. It's just that we try to place ours at the Bible. And we're not saying, you know, it's not some just legalistic rules or whatever, which that's not even what that is anyhow. I was telling Mrs. Amaya, I got some glasses, and I was in there, and I was waiting for the doctor to get my prescription. And there was a guy there, and he was getting glasses. And they go, okay, let's look at rims. And this guy goes, they have to be conservative rims because I work at Disneyland and they don't let us wear crazy rims. And the lady goes, yeah, I know that. I've done that. Look, now Disneyland, last time I checked, is not Disneyland, Disney Baptist Land. But everybody has, listen, we're just trying to follow God. We're not saying you're right with God just because you keep a stand. If you don't have a relationship with God, you could wear a dress under your feet and you come on. But it's not that. Could it be sometimes we've brought this down and we've kind of ruined the second generation instead of pushing them forward? Okay, we'll move on. Back to our regularly scheduled message. Number 6. Another reason David wasn't comfortable because he was channeling everybody to unity. Now look at verse 17. David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son. Do you catch that? So David prepares. David pulls Solomon in and says, son, you're the next generation. You're the guy. You're going to do it. I'm challenging you. I've already helped you get things started. God said I can't do it. God said you're going to do it. Get after it. And then he pulls the leaders aside and says, okay, time out, guys. You got to be on board with this too. Right? Because after David left, usually if you read through the New Testament, especially on Israel's side, whenever a king left, there's usually a battle and a war. You know, and here's one king in Judah, and there's like five kings during that time over here in Israel because they're all killing each other. You know, Tibni thought he was a king, and then next thing you know, the Bible just says, oh, wait, and he wasn't the king and he died. Yeah, that's just kind of what happened, okay? All that drama. But no, he said, we got to be on board with this. It's more than just my son being king. This is about God's house. We need to all be together. This isn't about the kingdom. This is about God. This is about the temple. And he brought them all together and he unified them. I say that to say this. Comfortable Christians cause conflict. They do. I was thinking of you, but I wasn't going to say it. They do. See, it's about Someone sat in my seat. Okay, I get it. And by the way, this is not an announcement. Don't save seats if you're, you know, don't drop a piece of paper on a chair. If you're going to save a seat that you're actually going to use. And kids, don't just save every seat. And then next thing you know, there's no one sitting in here because all the seats were saved and you were saving them for magic people that don't exist. Okay. Okay. Now let's get back to it. It's like, oh, you know, Casper was coming. Listen, Casper doesn't come to church here. He tithes, but Casper doesn't come to church here. But we're more concerned about the little issues than we are about serving God. By the way, you have issues in your family too, right? Was that a personal testimony back there? Thank you, Brother Paul. We'll pray for you. Okay. You don't throw, you know. Well, that, you know, my little grandson just did that. He's causing conflict in the house. Out with you. No. We'll work it out. Okay. Let's all work together. A church must have unity in order to be a church of dedicated disciples. By the way, I can always tell when someone's struggling, right? Because they're going to throw darts at other people. All right? It always has to be someone else's fault. Okay? Let's just work that. And by the way, a lot of times you have something to get somebody. If you went and talked to them, it's like, it was all just a misunderstanding. Not that we're having problems. I just know how it works. And then lastly, there was clarity to remain spiritual. Verse 18. As he's talking to the leaders, he tells them this. He goes, listen, is not the Lord your God with you? Rhetorical question. He is. Hath he not given you rest on every side? Solomon was going to be a man of peace. For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand. He goes, David says, don't worry about this. I mopped up everything for you. Okay, everybody's dealt with, everybody's taken care of. We have some time now to build the building. And the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore and build a sanctuary. Why didn't he say, everything's peaceful, everything's right, grab a hammer and get to work? He says, you better keep seeking God. Why? Because what they were seeking to do was a spiritual endeavor, and if they're not spiritual, they're not going to complete the spiritual endeavor. You have to be spiritual to do spiritual things. And he says, listen, we have to be right. Keep seeking the Lord your God and build the sanctuary of the Lord to God to bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God unto the house that is to be built for the name of the Lord our God. This wasn't going to be some magical place if they weren't seeking God. It's like when they fought the Philistines and they knew they were going to lose, they took the Ark of the Covenant out there like it was some kind of magic potion to take out the enemy. And what happened? They lost the war and the Ark got taken. God's like, stop, I'll take care of the Ark myself. I'm not going to help you just because you own that thing. There's no such thing as a rabbit. It says, seek the Lord your God. Stay spiritual. That's what will keep us from being comfortable. Solomon needed to stay faithful. The leaders underneath him needed to be faithful. And so did the people of the country. They needed to seek and follow God if this work was going to get done. Now, I just want to mention a few things and we're done here. Are you committed to staying spiritual? Now, I'm going to say some things and I want you to think this through. Because you may be getting comfortable. By the way, it's a temptation for everybody, every single person. It is so easy in the busyness of life to back off. It is so easy in the busyness of life to lose that fire that we used to have. You know, I want great things to happen in this church. And as we get in a new building, I really want to see good things and people reach. But if we're not spiritual here, if we're not seeking the Lord our God, it ain't happening. Just strike it out. Not going to happen. Let me ask you a couple things. Let me say, it used to be if we had a soul winning push or a special soul winning Saturday, would you be here? I'll just be honest with you. I don't like pulling teeth. And we give reminders, but it's like, hey, having a soul winning push used to be, you were always front and center. Hey, are you not front and center anymore? Okay, another super Saturday, been there, done that. Oh, another soul winning push. Okay, I'll come for the first week and then they can leave me alone. Listen, that's a bad place to be. You used to say, man, another summer saturation? I can't wait. We're going to go out here. We're going to flood this area for Easter service. I'm in. We're going to have a super Saturday. We're not meeting on Tuesday. Let's all be here for that one Saturday. Let's all go out for 1 hour. And you're like, oh, can't wait till the next hour. Is that what's going on? You might be getting comfortable. Used to be if we had a special project we were giving to, you'd find a way to be involved. And I know, you say, man, I can't wait for the building to be done. Neither can I. Yeah, we're not going to have any more giving times. Maybe we won't, but that's a really bad way to look at it. I know Christmas gift for Jesus was over. And I'm glad, by the way, we gave. I'm not chiding you. So obviously the majority of people are still in. But I want you to think tonight. Because see, comfortable Christianity sneaks in. Let's get through this offering. Used to be if we had a special service, you did everything you could to be here. Now it's like, what? I have to come? Used to be if we were having some type of special promotion to church, you were 100% involved and ready to go. Used to be if you're, I'm meddling now, okay. Used to be if your Sunday school class had an activity, you couldn't wait to go. I remember the singles. When I took the singles class, we didn't have any singles in the church. And all of a sudden, the singles started coming, and I found out that they liked to hang out. And we had an activity, my wife will verify, and many of you that were there, every Friday night. Every Friday night. We'd meet around 6, we'd go out, we'd go bowling or something, we'd go eat somewhere, and we'd come back and play games at my house till like 2 or 3 in the morning. Anybody there remember being there? And some of you wouldn't even go home. You just liked hanging out. You like being part of the church group. Now it's like, have an activity. It's like, I don't want to go to activity. You know, it's like, I'd rather go to the dentist. Listen, we're not going to pull your wisdom teeth out. And it's cheaper. Used to be if the church was having an activity, you couldn't wait to go. I'm really meddling this evening. Pray for it. Used to be if you couldn't wait to get to Sunday school. Now you drag in late or miss completely. And by the way, our Sunday school is about learning. It's about sharing prayer requests and blessing. But it's also about trying to get new people into the church so they can make some friends. See, you forgot that, didn't you? You remember back when you started coming to the activities and you started coming and you were meeting some people. Now maybe you can help meet some people. Used to be you loved teaching Sunday school. Now you don't do it, or you drag in late with a message that's not really prepared. By the way, Sunday school teachers, don't you dare come in late. Now I'm not meddling, I'm being a pastor. Okay? You shouldn't be late for anything. But it's like, man, you used to, look, and I remember the first time someone asked me, I was teaching five-year-olds, and I'm like, I don't even know how to teach a lesson. And they're like, you gotta teach. And I'm like, I was petrified. Five-year-olds, you can say anything to them and they'll think it's the best thing in the world. Dinosaurs, all you gotta do is get up and say, dinosaurs, Bible, you know. But I was petrified. But I was excited about it after I got going. Used to be you wanted to use your musical, this one's convicting me, okay? Used to be you wanted to use your musical talents for God. But now you're too busy for the choir, you hide your talents. By the way, if you can sing, be in the choir. We have a good choir, by the way. I'm not trying to. Now when we get to the building, we'll have a bigger. If you got some look, I was in the choir for a while. Say, how do you sing? Terribly. You know what they call someone that can't sing in the choir? Bass. Is that what that is? You're a bass. I'm like, cool, I'm a bass. Then someone said bass is Greek. It means cannot sing. All right, that's what that means. But, you know, it just became too much about me and I had to get out, all right? Some of you have some talents for God and you could use them. You just don't want to commit to it. Used to be you were excited about the preaching and learning something from the Bible in your class, and now you daydream or just try to get through the service because you know it all. Now, maybe I'm just weird. You know, I actually listen to preaching like when I'm not at work. I'll listen to it on my iPod or listen to it, not iPod, my phone. Well, I like to hear someone share the Word of God. That's something that helped me so much. Used to be you like being around God's people, the church, but now you look for faults. And by the way, we have a lot of them, okay? Say, I can't find faults in people. Come see me. I'll tell you everybody's fault. Okay, I'll start with mine, and if we have time. or reasons to be critical. By the way, let's not be critical of one another. Okay, we all have issues, amen? Used to be you look forward to reading your Bible every day, but now you rarely read it, if at all. Used to be you were excited to have a school where your children can come and be taught right things, but now you get upset about any little thing that happens or if your child gets in trouble. By the way, if your child gets in trouble, our teachers aren't here making low wages so they can torture your children. They're not, okay? You know what I'm saying? Just, and I understand, parents, we can be so, when it comes to our children, we're like totally diabolical. We don't get it. Listen, your little kid may smile like mine, but I found out my children had horns in the back of their head, all right? Just really hard to see them, okay? Talk to the teachers, but come on, they're here to help you. They're here to work with you. I'm glad my kids don't have to go to public school. I'm glad. I'm glad they're not being taught that, hey, maybe you're a little boy, but if you like playing with dolls, maybe you're a girl. We're not going to go there. Used to be you were excited about what God is doing here, but now you're irritated if someone sits in your seat or takes your parking spot, or I'm going to get down on this one and learn the other way, or I ask you to park off site. I mean, you should be parking off site. We have visitors coming on Sunday that need to be in the parking lot. What's wrong with you? Okay, they got it. Okay, I better move on that one. I'm going to lose tithers. Used to be if the Bible said it, I wanted to be a part of my life. Now I'm finding ways to excuse, tolerate, or explain away what I'm doing. Used to be I did what he wants. Now I do what I want. Used to be I had some convictions, but now we're allowing compromises. Used to be excited about tithing and giving each week, but now you see it as another bill. Used to be you were excited about new people being at church, and I hope you still are because they're coming every week. You went out of your way to encourage them and welcome them, but now you get here as late as possible and leave as early as possible. Now, I'm not saying come to church an hour before it starts and leave an hour after it leaves, but you know, hey, if you're around here, say hi to some new people. But I've been in small church. We're on vacation. We always go to small churches. And when they have a visitor in smaller churches in smaller towns, they're excited about it. We ought to be excited about it. God's bringing people here that we can help. And I'm not saying we're bad people. This just happens to us, doesn't it? And it used to be you look for things to do at the church. You volunteered to help, but now you have to be asked, prodded, or pushed. Well, we tried to push you out, but we're still working on that. And then it used to be when you were in our school, you loved and served, but now you're out of school, you've outgrown it. Yeah. You say, well, you know, God's not called me to be in ministry, and I don't feel that. God has called you to be in ministry. Serve at the church. You don't have to be in ministry to teach a Sunday school class. You've been around here for a while. Listen, use what God has given you to help others. God has given you something. You can be an encouragement. Get on a bus route. I used to be in bus route. You know, I was in college here and I was in bus route. Now, you know, God just didn't have that for me and I'm here in the church. And so that's great. We still have bus routes. You have something. Do you understand? You have something to give. But when we get comfortable, these things start to happen. Listen, I know I went a little longer than normal and I apologize, but I had this all. I didn't go last week. I didn't even go 1 minute. So I was kind of making up for it. Okay. What's the point? I just don't want us to get comfortable because it creeps into all of our lives. All of us, right? Let's fight it. Because when that creeps into our life, we're not as excited about the things of God as we used to be. And that's a bad place to be. If I'm going to be a Christian, and I am, I want to enjoy it. I want to be excited about it. I want to see something happen. I don't want to just put in the motion. To me, it's like, I hate wasting my time. If we're not going to be serious about, I used to coach, I'll tell you this, I'm done. When I took over the sports department years ago, it's like, hey, pastor, who's the girls volleyball coach? He goes, we don't have one, it's you. I'm like, I didn't even know the rules the first game. I went up to the ref and said, what was that all about? He goes, that's the rule. I'm like, really? I didn't know that. Thanks. And we lose and I just sit back like, can I get out of here? And you know, I thought, you know what? That's ridiculous. If I'm going to be in on this thing, I'm going to go for it. And I started making the girls run and they all hated me, but we won the championship, but they didn't like me. So it was kind of a trade-off. But it's like, if I'm going to be involved in this thing, I'm going to be 100%. I'm going to get in. I want to be, and you know what? It was more exciting to me. Are you losing your excitement for God? Let's not get comfortable. Let's stand together this evening, every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a minute.